Raising the Roof is Canada's only national charity dedicated to long-term solutions to homelessness. Raising the Roof funds local grassroots agencies working to alleviate homelessness in their communities and builds awareness among Canadians about the true nature of homelessness, its causes, and solutions. They also build partnerships by giving individuals, corporations, and organizations the opportunity to participate in solutions. At the end of July 2009, I was happy to speak with Carol Ann Barr, the Director of Research and Community Initiatives at Raising the Roof. So I just want to first of all say thanks, Carol Ann, for having me come here at Raising the Roof today and taking the time for joining me in my podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much, Alona. Looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah, this is great. So maybe if we could just start off with you introducing yourself and your role here, as well as some background information on Raising the Roof.
Okay, so my name is Carol Ann Barr, and I'm the Director of Research and Community Initiatives at Raising the Roof. And my position here, I'm overseeing a project which I'll talk a little bit more about later, but it's called the YouthWorks Initiative. And really out of that, the development and dissemination of our recently released report called Youth Homelessness in Canada, The Road to Solutions. And it really focuses on providing a snapshot of youth homelessness in Canada today. And I also organized the second National Youth Homelessness Conference in Toronto in November of 2008 called Partner Solving Youth Homelessness. And really working with a national network to kind of facilitate ongoing discussion around solutions to youth homelessness, both nationally and in local communities.
Oh, that's great. A lot of really, really great work.
So I'll just talk a little bit about kind of the background information on Raising the Roof. It was really created and resulted out of national consultation conducted in 1996. And it was really experts across the country on homelessness deciding if there was a need for kind of a national charity to work on solutions across the country on homelessness. So we really focus on long-term solutions to homelessness, and for the last few years we've had a particular focus on youth homelessness. And we really help fund local agencies that are working with the homeless. We also focus on building awareness among Canadians about the true nature of homelessness, and also really build partnerships between corporations, organizations, and researchers in ways they can participate in solutions.
Wonderful. So you said that in the last few years you've been focusing on youth. So when Raising the Roof started out, was it focused like more on adults?
Yeah. Certainly some of the initiatives that Raising the Roof has been involved in over the last 15 years is our annual TOOP campaign that we've done since 1997. Mm-hmm. And that's a national initiative that gives all people ways they can participate in helping the homeless by raising awareness. And to date, we've sold 575,000 TOOPs across Canada.
That's amazing.
So it's really a good way to, like I said, to raise awareness across the country about the issue. And certainly when Raising the Roof was launched in 1996, homelessness was still under the radar. So I think we've been a big part of raising the public's awareness about this serious issue across the country. Just some of the other initiatives that Raising the Roof has been involved in is our Shared Learnings on Homelessness website, which is sharedlearnings.org. It's a real interactive website that has a directory of organizations helping the homeless across Canada, as well as has our monthly Housing Again bulletin, which talks about current news around homelessness and affordable housing, issues related to poverty. And we've also done a Hidden Homeless campaign, which was radio, TV, and print ads around capturing the homeless that we don't always see that are in communities across the country, and really raising the awareness about that issue. And then in 2006, we launched our YouthWorks initiative and recently released our report, Youth Homelessness in Canada, The Road to Solutions. So we're going to have a public launch of that document and our findings and what we found through our 3 years of research in November.
Oh, great. Is that going to be like the second sort of conference for Raising the Roof?
We're just working out the details, but it's going to be in conjunction with our annual TOOP campaign, which is always launched in November. So we're also going to talk about the findings and what we've found from talking to close to 700 youth across Canada about youth homelessness, and what are some of the solutions, and what are some of our recommendations. So we'll be having some kind of public event in Toronto in November.
Okay.
Yeah.
What sort of recommendations were made from that report?
Well, like I said, so that report, Youth Homelessness in Canada, The Road to Solutions, it's really talking to different stakeholders across the country about what's going on in their communities and nationally around youth homelessness. And we talked to close to 700 youth over 3 years, partnering with an agency in Calgary, Toronto, and St. John's, and really then presented some of our preliminary findings to various stakeholders across the country. That included government, policymakers, researchers, service providers, and other youth, and really making sure that we heard from a broad spectrum of stakeholders across the country about what they're finding and what's needed. And certainly, I guess one of the big things that came out of the report is that youth homelessness is a real national crisis in this country, and that it's unbelievable in a country such as Canada that we still have so many homeless youth. There's estimates that there's up to 65,000 homeless youth in Canada, and that Canada really has not developed a coordinated national response, and that's really an important piece. And certainly this report gives some steps as to how we might start to get there in terms of really developing that coordinated response across the country. And one of the other big things in the report is that funding needs to be long-term and stable. Like I said, when Raising the Roof started in 1996, that the issue of homelessness was under the radar, and it really is. There's a lot more known about the issue, and it's recognized what a serious issue it is. So funding needs to really be long-term. And we know that the good news is that we know there are long-term solutions to address the issue, specifically youth homelessness across the country. And if we have this long-term kind of stable funding, we know that programs that are successful can really continue to grow and develop if they have that secure funding. And that's a really important piece, that there has been a lot of progress made about how to address the issue, but the funding needs to be there for those programs to continue to grow. And the other big piece is to develop really supportive framework to encourage the private sector to be involved in solutions, that everyone has a part to play, and corporations and government and agencies and certainly youth themselves all have a part to play in how to solve this national crisis. Another big finding is really creating barrier-free access to services, and I think we'll probably talk more about that, Ilona. You know, that there's a lot of barriers to accessing services, whether criteria to get into a program, or even young people who live in more rural communities, there aren't the services there, so they have to leave the supports that they do have to come to the city to get services. So we're saying that there really needs to be services available for the youth who need it when they're in need in their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the other big recommendations is that there needs to be government leadership between all levels of government to really collaborate together on how to solve youth homelessness, a coordinated national response. And something so simple, but a agreed upon definition across the country of what youth homelessness is, that doesn't exist, and that's a really important starting point as well.
Mm, absolutely. So, well, it's obviously a very significant report, and this is available on the Raising the Roof website then, if anyone wanted to read that?
Yeah, you can go just to raisingtheroof.org, and on our homepage you can find information about the work, as well as download a PDF of the full report in English and French, and a summary of the report as well in English and French.
Yeah, that's great. So I just want to talk a bit about the Hidden Homelessness campaign that you sort of briefly mentioned. I think people have a preconceived notion that homelessness means that you're living on the streets and that it's basically a very sort of visible issue. You can always see it. And so the Hidden Homeless campaign, it really moved me, and I'm sure it spoke really loudly to a lot of people in the public. So maybe you could just talk a bit about that whole notion of hidden homelessness.
Yeah, I think that was a really important piece to really educate the public about, and because homelessness is something often we see, but not always, and it's estimated that there's up to 80% of people who are homeless are the hidden homeless. And really, it could be anyone. It could be young people, adults, families, and seniors who might be couch surfing, moving from one friend's home to another, and they don't have stable, safe, affordable housing. Certainly, there's adults who live in cars that we've heard about, or abandoned buildings. You know, even women who are forced to kind of live in a situation that's really unsafe, perhaps with a man, and it's a very dangerous situation. You know, they have no other place to go.
And when did you first become involved in this type of work, like work regarding youth homelessness?
I've been working with homeless and at-risk youth for close to 20 years in various programs across Toronto. And most recently, I worked and was the manager of a program called Youth Skill Zone, which is a program at YouthLink, right down in Queen and Spadina. And it's an employment stabilization program with a harm reduction philosophy. While I was there for many years, I also worked closely with other community agencies, both in Toronto and across the country, to advocate to the federal government to really ensure that they continued their really successful homelessness partnering strategy. So I really was happy to end up at Raising the Roof and be continuing the work to mobilize people to address youth homelessness in local communities and across the country.
That's great. You've obviously been very involved. And what and how kind of got you into this type of work?
Well, I think, you know, with young people, there's always, I think, a hope for their future. And certainly, you know, I guess I always think of young people who've had to face, you know, poverty and homelessness really need support. And sometimes the adults in their lives, whether it's parents or guardian, have really not been able to provide that support. Talking about how, you know, young people who face poverty and homelessness, and, you know, kind of why I got into this field, and you know, recognizing that those young people often haven't had the supports from their parents or other adults, and that really, I mean, they're young people like any other young person, and they really just need the right supports and role model. And often I heard over the years working directly with youth, you know, it was having one person in their life who they felt understood them and listened to them and really provided some support made all the difference. And so some of these young people have never had that support before. And, you know, it's been a really wonderful career to be able to work directly with young people over the years. And then now being in a position with Raising the Roof to work on, you know, changing the government policy and educating the sector about what's happening across the country. I think speaking more now in a unified voice to government and to the private sector about what really is happening with youth homelessness and kind of dispelling some of those myths has been really a great opportunity.
Yeah, that is really wonderful. Actually, that really leads right into my next question. You know, you've been involved in this type of work for quite some time. So maybe if you could just talk about the changes or the lack of changes that you've witnessed over the years.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Alona. There has been a lot of exciting things that have happened, and yet there's still, you know, lots more work to be done. You know, like I mentioned, Raising the Roof was started in 1996 when the issue of homelessness, like I said, was really under the radar. And soon after that, though, the federal government launched something called the Community Supporting Communities Partnership Initiative in 1999. It's now called the Homelessness Partnering Strategy. And many of the services across the country for the homeless initially provided emergency response through shelters and drop-in centers. And these services are still very important and needed because of the number of homeless people. And even during the recession, there's going to be even increase in those numbers. But certainly over the years, there seems to be a better understanding of really effective approaches to prevent and address homelessness. Certainly just to mention a couple of those, I mean, the Housing First approach has been very successful across Canada, and that's taking someone who's homeless and getting them into housing. And there's lots of resources to help those people. I would say that you know, especially young people, we need to make sure that not only do they get housed, but they get the appropriate supports and services to maintain that housing, and, you know, learn long-term life skills to access and maintain their housing in the future. Another really effective approach that's being used across the country is harm reduction. And it really, I think, it's ensuring that when you're working with young people, you're providing them accurate information in a really unjudgmental, unbiased, kind of supportive way. And this is specifically to street-involved youth, really, who are engaged in drug use or other kind of high-risk behaviors, and kind of meeting a young person where they're at to kind of educate them and give them the support they need so they're living safer lifestyles. Some of the other interesting things that I think, and positive things that have been happening, is there's been more collaboration between various stakeholders across the country. So that's agencies, government, the private sector, researchers are all kind of playing their own role and their own part in trying to solve homelessness. I would say that this needs to, continue to grow and develop, but I think we're on the right track, and I think that's really positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great. It sounds like you've witnessed quite a few positive changes, which is, it's always refreshing, of course.
Definitely, yeah. And there's still, like I said, there's still more work that needs to be done. And I can comment a little on that as well, kind of what I think needs to continue to happen to really try to solve this issue of youth homelessness and homelessness. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going back to something I mentioned, but that funding needs to be long-term and sustainable. And certainly in the absence of this kind of funding, the ability of service providers to further develop, expand, or replicate really successful programs is seriously diminished. And I know that the government is really hearing that message and really try to work with the sector to see how they can establish that kind of more long-term funding. And something else that really needs to happen is a coordinated national response. And our report really outlines some of the recommendations and next steps to work towards finding better solutions. And we also need to really continue to strengthen some of our systems where we know there's really high percentages of youth who are coming out of those systems who end up homeless. So, the child protection system, educational system, and judicial systems really need to work on preventing youth homelessness and figuring out ways to strengthen those systems. And I know they do lots of good work, but I know there's ways that we can continue to improve those systems. And some of the statistics we found from talking to the youth, the 700 youth in our Youth Works initiative, 68% of the homeless youth we interviewed came from foster care, group homes, or a youth center. 62% of the youth had to drop out of school, and 71% had previous criminal justice system involvement. So we know there's more work to do there to actually not only help homeless youth, but prevent them from becoming homeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like there's positive things that have happened over the years, but of course we need to keep working, and new things obviously come up every and I know that with the Youth Works initiative, there's a really big focus on trying to solve youth homelessness. Mm-hmm. And so is this something that you believe that can actually happen? And if so, what do you think it would take for us to get closer to solving such a complex issue?
That's a very good question. And I think we have to aim to solve youth homelessness. And I do believe that there's a lot we can do to try to get there. So I like to be hopeful, but I recognize solving it seems a very daunting task. And like you said, it is a real complex social issue. I think, again, kind of on the hopeful side, that there really is, at this point, a lot of momentum and sharing a lot of information across the country. And it seems like people are really being mobilized. And it's interesting, as I talk to different people across Canada, and different stakeholders, government and the agencies and researchers, that the messages that I've been kind of talking to you about today are all very similar about kind of what needs to happen next. Mm-hmm. So that gives me a lot of hope that people are not so scattered. People really have a unified vision of of kind of what needs to happen next to continue to work towards solving youth homelessness.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that we're now closer to solving youth homelessness than we were when you first got involved in this type of work?
I think there's some amazing programs that have some really successful outcomes, and I've seen a lot of youth kind of be involved in those programs and start to really, turn their life around and get on a better path in life. So I do think that there's been a lot of progress over the last 10 years, and certainly compared to some other countries, certainly like the USA, the UK, and Australia, I think we still have lots of work to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So from your experiences with the various campaigns that Raising the Roof is involved in and has been involved in, what would you say, or how do you think that we as researchers and activists that are involved in this type of work can effectively raise awareness to these issues? And how do we get people in society to really listen to the message? Because you do a lot of that here at Raising the Roof.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what Raising the Roof has been doing over the last few years is to really raise awareness of the issue. And try to really educate the public about the true nature of homelessness. And I think it's not only educating, but really engaging the public, getting them involved in how they can contribute to solutions. And certainly we know as the public gets more involved and more passionate about the issue and recognizes the seriousness of the problem, specifically youth homelessness, that they're more likely to work with government to pressure government to implement some of those policies that are going to work towards solutions. So it's such an important piece of what Raising the Roof does. And like I said, it's not only educating, but really getting the public involved in how they can contribute to solutions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you say are the top three reasons that you've become homeless, just from your experiences and in your opinion?
Well, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people sometimes that you talk to who don't know a lot about the issue think that youth leave home because they have too many rules or they just kind of want to, you know, have an adventure, and it's totally not the case. I mean, from all the research that's happened across the country around youth homelessness, it's really most often triggered by family-related issues, certainly ranging from poverty, sexual and gender identity issues, to violence and physical and psychological and sexual abuse. And leading Canadian researchers report that issues faced by LGBTQ youth really are a major contributing factor to youth homelessness.
Okay. And in comparison to other cities in Canada, do you think that Toronto is a city that with a wide range of support services for youth who are homeless?
Definitely. I've worked in Toronto for many years, and they have really excellent services and supports that really provide a range and continuum of services from prevention, emergency response, and helping people transition out of homelessness. I think that there definitely could be, from my experience, a more formalized way that the City of Toronto works with the community agencies to address various gaps in services, and really fostering even more collaboration across the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know we sort of discussed this earlier, but in terms of barriers that youth who are trying to get support from support services, what types of barriers to these support services have you heard of that youth are faced with?
Yeah, that's a good question as well, because it seems funny to have certain things that would be barriers to homeless youth to accessing services. It just seems very ironic, really, mm-hmm. that does exist, but it does. And I think there's a few things that, from my experience, I've seen. Sometimes agencies have very clear admission criteria, that may preclude a young person from being accepted into the program. Certainly one of the biggest issues that I've seen is youth who don't have identification. So they may have been living outside under a bridge, and had their identification stolen or lost. And it's very difficult. It sounds like a simple thing, but it's very difficult to actually go out and have the money to go and renew your identification. Mm-hmm. And without identification, you can't really do very much at all. You can't access any healthcare services. You can't get into some of the shelters that are out there for young people. You can't access food banks. Certainly you can't get a job without your identification. So it's very hard to kind of get out of homelessness without ID, yet it's hard to get the services that help you get out of homelessness without your identification. There is some really cool initiatives in Toronto specifically. It's called the PAID program, Partners for Accessing Identification. Mm-hmm. And I think it's out of Street Health. They have a really great program where they help people get their ID back so they can start to get back on track. And certainly, if youth don't have an address, you know, mm-hmm. That they're not able to access certain services. So often the most kind of marginalized, at-risk youth aren't able to access the services they need. So certainly there's more work that needs to be done, or continued needs to be done around that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, and as you know, the focus of my work is focused on LGBTQ youth who are homeless or insecurely housed. So I just want to shift the focus of the interview a bit just to discuss this.
Yeah.
So from the research that you have been involved in and the youth that you have spoken to, do you think that Toronto has support to offer for LGBTQ youth who are homeless?
Yeah, and that's a really good question too. I think certainly more kind of generally, you know, from doing the research for the report Youth Homelessness in Canada, The Road to Solutions, it's really apparent that many top researchers and people from agencies that I talk to feel like there needs to be, you know, specific services for LGBTQ youth. And that, you know, there needs to be, we need to ensure that the agency staff represent really a diversity of genders and orientations so they can provide really solid role models for all the different youth that they're serving. I mean, even more generally, I think there needs to be strategies, you know, that reduce stigma overall in society. And reduce harassment in schools, and even more supports for families who have LGBTQ youth. Certainly Toronto has some services that provide more specific support for LGBTQ homeless youth. And I think, you know, we were talking about a few of them. Certainly there is no shelter specifically for LGBTQ homeless youth. There is some services out there like Sherburn Health Center supporting our youth, 519 Community Center, Street Outreach Services, Turning Point Youth Services, but I think there's definitely more we could do. And certainly some of those services I bet would even have some really good insight into how to improve services that are currently being offered across the city. So I think there's room for improvement, and like I said, from my research, some of the recommendations is there are specific services, if that's shelter, housing, and supports for LGBTQ homeless youth.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that, do you see the need for Toronto to implement a shelter, like an emergency crisis shelter, specifically for LGBTQ youth?
Well, I think it's really a great idea. I really do. I think that there is, you know, there is some youth, homeless youth shelters in Toronto. They're doing some great work. And I know but I think a shelter that was a really safe environment and a really inclusive environment, I think would be great. Because we know, again, from talking to current researchers that LGBTQ youth are really overrepresented in the homeless youth population. So why aren't we doing even more mm-hmm. to make sure that their needs are being met?
Absolutely. Okay, and within the current shelter system, you know, like the homophobia that occurs, do you think that the majority of homophobia that LGBTQ homeless youth face comes from other youth who are attending the services, or actually from the staff who are working at these services?
It's interesting. I think it's, you know, sometimes both. From my experience, I mean, the majority of homophobia I think comes from some of the other youth in the shelter. I think, and many, honestly, I believe that many of these youth have even learned these attitudes from their parents or other adults in their life. And I know that, you know, certainly how we used to always approach it as a staff team is, it's, if you hear these kind of homophobic attitudes, it's really an opportunity. You have to kind of view it as an opportunity to start educating some of these young people to help them really be more inclusive and accepting and make sure that it's a really safe environment for everyone. And I think also there's a lot of staff who work in shelters. They're quite young. They're kind of figuring out some of their own ideas and attitudes. And I think that also, so for an agency to really set the example to make sure that they have clear policies, anti-discrimination, anti-homophobia policies, that those staff receive regular supervision, guidance, support, to ensure that, you know, all their actions are really providing a safe environment for all the youth.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really great advice. And I guess, you know, before we end off the interview, is there anything else that you wanted to add in? Maybe anything I didn't ask you specifically about?
I think just, you know, just talking about LGBTQ shelters and ensuring that that homeless shelters are safe for all youth. Like I said, I think that it's really important that agencies and shelters develop really clear policies, that they ensure that the staff and all the youth are really clear on those policies, that they're posted publicly, and that there's mandatory training for all the staff on really how to deal with anti-homophobic and anti-discriminatory attitudes. And it's really important to ensure that all the staff and management teams, like I said, are diverse. So that even, again, comes from the top up and ensuring that hiring practices are really inclusive and there's kind of role models there for all the different youth that are being served. So I think that's really, really important that work continues to happen in services for homeless youth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, this is absolutely very important work. And so thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us.
Yeah, Elona, and thanks for all the great work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing.
Thanks a lot.